Thank you. Well, as I prepared for today, there were a lot of thoughts that came to mind and a lot of history. But I realized that this was not only back to church Sunday, it was tailgate Sunday, and all of you would be in these various shades of colors. And then I began to realize that it was 40 years ago this November that Bill Cloud and I finally had a bet that if Vanderbilt finally beat Tennessee in football, he would wear a Vanderbilt cap in church. I brought in memory of Bill a Vanderbilt cap. I also wore my Vanderbilt tie and my Vanderbilt socks. There are few and far between those of us who have the longevity of patience for a winning Vanderbilt football team. We get there once every blue moon, and that's about it. For those of you that weren't here, I'll believe it was 43 years ago that Ann and a little boy named Kevin came to Hilldale. 43 years. How time flies. Kevin turns 50 next month. He knew every inch of the building here that during those 5 years. We talked, and I mentioned it in Sunday school, that some of us talked along about 1982 or 3, changing the name on the church sign so that it was permatized and could not be changed, so the bishop would not be able to move me. He did anyway. We went to Fayetteville. Wasn't where we were supposed to go that year, but that's a whole nother story. Went to Bethlehem after that, to Calvary, and as I told them at Calvary in Green Hills when we arrived, it's biblical to go from Bethlehem to Calvary, but I hope history does not repeat itself. It didn't, thank God. Went to Forest Hills and then to Hermitage, and if you've kept up with all of that, when we went to Forest Hills, for the first time in my life, I lived in my own house. They had a housing allowance, so Ann and I bought a house, and I didn't have to ask the trustees before I put a hole in the wall. After Forest Hills, I was moved to Hermitage to follow a minister who had been there for 18 years. That's a whole other story in itself. After 35 years, no, it wasn't that long at Hermitage. Y'all are supposed to chuckle about that. I was asked to consider going to the United Methodist Foundation for the Nashville area, what was then the Memphis and Tennessee conferences. In 2006, I left pastoral ministry to become minister to churches and ministries across the area in a special and unique way. And I was allowed to sort of wrap up my ministry by working with ministries and churches in endowments and scholarships and investment of long-term funds. That ministry is, again, another whole story in itself. 2013, I retired, and Ann saw how much I enjoyed it. 6 months later, she joined me. And we have been extremely busy since. The good thing about United Methodism is the connections we make and how they come at times full circle. And I think the Ludert family, for example, knows that full well. We made connections that brought back many memories and are grateful for the connection that we had here. There's a lot more that I could say before I read the scripture, but I do want to say a word of thanks and appreciation. You've had a whole series of pastors since we were here, some of whom I trained as younger pastors, especially Paul Gardner and B.J. Brack. B.J.'s now my pastor, so I have to sit where y'all did. But we love Laura. B.J. will get a good kick out of that one. But I want to say a word of appreciation for the love that you gave to my parents. Dad was the easiest former preacher to preach to. My English teacher mother took notes. She always told me what word I mispronounced or what preposition I had at the end of a sentence. But you were great to them, loved them, and cared for them, and they loved you. And I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you. There's a story from Matthew. It's actually a combination of stories that we'll be reading today from the 9th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. After getting into a boat, Jesus crossed the sea and came to his own town. And some people were carrying to him a paralyzed man lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, child, your sins are forgiven." Then some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your bed, and go to your home." And he stood up and went to his home. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God who had given such authority to human beings. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as Jesus sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, continue to make your presence known in our midst today. Speak to us and enable us to hear your word for us individually and collectively. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The theme that Stephen had chosen prior to his learning the need for surgery is, what's next? Dreaming bigger than ourselves. When Ann and I came here in 1979, the church was in its 25th year. We were also in some difficult and challenging times. We had a board meeting that last Sunday of June, and I learned for the first time that we were behind the budget almost 25%, expected to be over 35% behind the budget by the end of August. I recall that as I began our ministry together, I emphasized that we needed to dream bigger than ourselves. There were some rough times, but focused on the history that brought us to that 25th year, we began to shape something that was different and hopeful. The church had been started by some folks, most of whom were members at Madison Street in 1954. A lot was happening in the region in those years, at the beginning of this church and beyond Clarksville. There was a lot going on historically. In 1954, the beginning of this church's history, the Supreme Court ruled on Brown versus the Board of Education, stating that segregation in public schools is unconstitutional. What a difference the years have made since then. What more we need to do. Ellis Island in New York was closed as a point of migration. President Eisenhower signed into law the new Social Security bill funded by employers and employees. Senator Joseph McCarthy was censured, bringing to an end his witch hunt for communists. Elvis Presley had his first billed concert, opening for Slim Whitman. History sometimes continues. Operation Wetback started on July 17th to send back to Mexico almost 4 million undocumented immigrants. Have we learned anything from history? A hydrogen bomb test was conducted in the Pacific Ocean. The words "under God" were added to our Pledge of Allegiance. Roger Bannister ran the first sub-4-minute mile. And Swanson's started TV dinners. Some of it's more historic than others, but most importantly for us, Hilldale was begun in a section of Clarksville that was growing. Within 2 years, Hilldale would have over 200 members. By the end of 1979, there were over 600. In 1979, I was coming after 8 years of campus ministry at the Wesley Foundation at Austin Peay. A ministry that saved me for the ministry in the local church. That's another story, too. But I realized during those years of pastoring that what I missed most was the relationship with young children. Prior to coming, I asked about children's sermons. I was told that, well, we have them about once a month, usually on second or third Sundays. I said, we're going to have them every week. If a picture could have been taken of the congregation from up here, the second Sunday, before the children's sermon and after the children's sermon, I could prove to you that that was when the rebirth and renewal of Hilldale began. The first Sunday, we'd had fewer than 20 children for children's sermon. The second Sunday, we had 36. And the change in expressions of the congregation said, we've got a future with hope. What happened over the coming months and years was the growth of a church in its willingness to be inclusive and missional. I should go ahead and tell you, the children's sermon was about what is round and red with no doors or windows and has a star inside. I remember that children's sermon because I used it almost every church I went to. But I want you to think about today what it means to be inclusive and missional in light of this passage that we've read from Matthew. We realize when we look at this passage and in its context, the challenges that Jesus was facing. He faced them because he was being inclusive and missional at the same time. In the first part, he forgives a person and it's criticized. Religious leaders were saying only God can forgive. So Jesus raised that rhetorical question, which is easier, to forgive or to heal? And he turned and said to the man, just so you will know that the Son of Man, the Messiah, has the right to forgive, the power to forgive. He turned to the man and take up your mat and walk. And go home. And the man did. An act of inclusiveness with mission. He continued that. He was walking along and he encounters Matthew, a Jew, collecting taxes for the Roman government. And he says, according to the gospel, follow me. Welcoming a Jew hated by other Jews for what he did into his circle of friendship. And Matthew followed him. And he tells the story that he immediately is eating dinner and all these tax collectors and sinners. I've always loved that line. He doesn't say tax collectors and other sinners. So don't go tell IRS agents that you're a sinner because you're a tax collector. But he was eating dinner with them. Talk about inclusiveness. What sinner are you going to eat lunch with today? We will all eat with sinners. Forgiven sinners, but still sinners. Because Jesus did. Because he was inclusive and missional at the same time. inviting people into a relationship and sending them out, whether to go home or to go into ministry somewhere else. Jesus was opening the door wider than others were willing to open the doors. Maybe, just maybe, that's a part of the message for us today. Because here we are in 2022, back to church Sunday, a day planned months ago, and before Stephen knew he had to have surgery. Remember the theme? What's next? Dreaming bigger than ourselves. Is it possible that dreaming bigger than ourselves means that we need to have more open hearts, open minds, and open doors, opening them wider and wider? Wouldn't you rather be a part of a community that is inclusive instead of exclusive? Wouldn't others want to be? You see, I don't think I've come today to tell you what your vision for Hilldale should be, except for you to open your hearts and minds to what these events in the life of Jesus have to tell us about living our faith with doors opened wider and wider. Throughout the history of Hilldale, you have sought to create a church in which all are welcome. Don't stop it. Expand it. You've endeavored to connect evangelism and mission, calling each other and others to follow Christ and to serve others. That's what these stories remind me to preach. Forgive. Follow. Heal the hurts. Feed the hungry. Join with all of God's children. As you dream bigger than yourselves, dream to create a church in the 21st century where all are welcome. Build a church where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where children and adults learn how hearts can forgive and be forgiven. Build a church of hopes and dreams and visions on the rock of faith in Jesus Christ and on the abundance of God's grace. Build a church where the love of Christ ends divisions because all are welcome here. As you move toward your 70th year in ministry and life as a church in 2024, continue to build a church where prophets speak, words are strong and true, and where all of God's children dare to seek to dream God's reign anew. As you do, seek to live fully and to love wastefully in the way of Christ. Build a bigger table through empty bowls and fuel and urban ministries and other ministries. Through helping people who need help through your good Do Good Disciples ministry. By growing spiritually through small groups, Sunday school, Bible studies, and by lifting one another in prayer, both in your joys and your sorrows. That list could go on and on about how you open the doors wider and wider and how you dream bigger than yourselves. But the key is to always open the doors wide so that God's grace can be shared with all of God's children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. By the way, how many of you knew the answer to the children's sermon? Well, it's an apple. Be sure when you go home and cut an apple, you cut it across this way. Don't cut it top to bottom, but across here. And you'll find whatever color apple it is, it has no doors or windows, but it's got a star inside. Every one of you has a star inside. Let it shine. It's the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.